Okay, piriformis syndrome. It's one of those things I've always found kind of puzzling.
Yeah, I can see why
You
at
hear
least.
about it, but it always seems shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
Like, how common is it, really?
Right.
And what's the deal with this muscle messing with your sciatic nerve? It sounds almost sneaky.
It can be tricky, that's for sure, even for, experienced clinicians.
So, no more vague notions for us.
Yeah.
We're doing a deep dive straight to the source. I've got an article here by orthopedic specialist Dr. J.W. Thomas Bird.
Oh, excellent choice.
He's great at making complex medical stuff clear, and this article is no exception. So let's get specific about piriformis syndrome.
Sounds good.
First things first, what is piriformis syndrome? The article describes it as a bit of a medical enigma, potentially overdiagnosed and AD underdiagnosed.
Yeah.
How can something be both?
Well, it's mainly because the symptoms can be pretty misleading. It
Okay.
all starts with buttock pain, often with sciatic nerve irritation. But here's the thing, that pain can be really similar to other conditions, so it's not always a clear-cut case.
So we've got pain in the buttock,
Right.
but we're not talking about any old ache here. This is specifically tied to the piriformis muscle, causing trouble for the sciatic nerve.
Exactly.
All right, help me picture this. The article describes the piriformis as flat, pyramid-shaped. I'm trying to visualize it.
Okay, think of it like a diagonal band of muscle, almost like a suspension bridge. It's deep inside your buttock, connecting your sacrum, that triangular bone at the base of your spine, to the top of your femur, which is your thigh bone.
Yeah.
Its main job is to rotate your hip outward.
So it's pretty involved in how we move,
Right.
but why is its position S so important when it comes to the sciatic nerve?
Well, remember that suspension bridge image? That's the piriformis. And right next to it, imagine a major highway that's your sciatic nerve.
Okay.
It's the largest nerve in your body, traveling from your lower back all the way down your leg. And sometimes it actually passes right through the piriformis muscle.
Whoa, so you've got this vital nerve practically intertwined with this muscle. I'm starting to see how things could go south.
Right. So if that muscle gets tight, inflamed, or starts spasming, it can put pressure directly on that nerve.
Oh.
And that's when you get those classic sciatica symptoms, pain, numbness, or tingling shooting down your leg.
So you could have leg pain, but the problem isn't actually in your leg, it's this muscle in your buttock.
Exactly.
That's wild.
And that's why misdiagnosis happens so often. People think, oh, it's my back, when it's actually the piriformis causing all the trouble.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, the article mentions overuse or repetitive trauma as common causes. Thinking about that suspension bridge, how does movement affect the piriformis, especially for people who are super active?
Well, think about what your hip does every time you take a step. As you move, the piriformis is constantly working, stretching, and contracting to help rotate your hip. Now imagine you're a runner or a cyclist, putting your hip through these motions over and over for miles. It's a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, it's like bending a paperclip back and forth. Eventually, it's going to weaken or snap. So, are we just talking about the muscle being tight, or is there more to it?
It's not just tightness. That repetitive stress can actually cause tiny tears in the muscle fibers.
Oh, wow.
It can lead to inflammation and even those super sensitive knots, trigger points. And those can cause referred pain in other areas.
So, it's not just about the muscle being short and stiff. It's
Yeah.
inflammation, potential damage, trigger points. All adding to the complexity. This really is a medical mystery.
It really can be. And then, of course, there are the symptoms, which just add another layer of intrigue.
Right, the article really drives home that buttock pain is the hallmark of piriformis syndrome, but it also says there's a catch.
Ah, yes. The catch is that the sciatica, so that pain, numbness, tingling down the leg,
Right.
it can be really inconsistent and unpredictable. It might affect different parts of the leg depending on exactly where the piriformis muscle is pressing on the nerve.
So even the leg pain itself can be a bit of a red herring, making diagnosis even trickier.
Exactly. And to make matters worse, it can often coexist with other conditions like, lower back problems or hip
Oh, you
issues.
could have multiple things going on at once,
Right.
making it even harder to figure out what's causing what. This is feeling like a detective case.
It is.
Okay, let's get into the detective work of diagnosis then. The article highlights how important the physical exam is. What are some of the things doctors look for when they suspect piriformis syndrome?
Well, they'll start by checking your range of motion, seeing if there are any limitations or pain when you move your hip. Then they'll palpate, basically feel, the piriformis muscle to see if it's tender or tight.
So they're looking for those telltale signs of muscle trouble, but are there any specific tests that can really pinpoint piriformis syndrome?
There are a few maneuvers, like the Freiberg test or the pace sign.
Yeah.
The doctor will position your leg in certain ways to kind of stretch or compress the piriformis muscle.
I see.
The idea is to see if those movements make your symptoms come back, like you're catching the muscle red-handed.
Ah, so it's a provocation test, trying to get the piriformis to reveal itself.
Yeah, exactly. But they aren't foolproof. There's no single test that can definitively diagnose it.
It all comes back to how complex this condition is. The article also mentions imaging studies, x-rays, and MRIs. What role do those play in the diagnosis?
X-rays are usually the first step. They can rule out things like bony abnormalities or fractures, but x-rays can't show soft tissues like muscles and nerves.
So they're good for eliminating some of the more obvious suspects, but they don't give you the full picture.
Exactly. That's where an MRI can come in. It provides a much more detailed image of the piriformis muscle, the sciatic nerve, and all the surrounding structures.
So if the physical exam is pointing towards piriformis syndrome, but there's still some uncertainty, an MRI can give a closer look to confirm the diagnosis.
That's right. And it's especially important if surgery is being considered.
Speaking of surgery, let's talk treatment options. The article emphasizes a conservative approach first. What does that involve?
Conservative treatment is all about relieving symptoms and addressing the underlying muscle issues without jumping straight to surgery.
Okay.
And often, the first step is lifestyle modification.
What kind of changes might someone need to make in their routine?
It really varies from person to person, but some common ones include avoiding things that trigger the pain, like sitting for long periods or repetitive hip movements.
So if sitting aggravates it, what are some tips for people who have desk jobs or spend a lot of time sitting?
Well, making sure your workspace is set up ergonomically can make a big difference.
Okay.
Things like using a chair with good lumbar support, adjusting your desk height so your elbows are at 90 degrees, and taking breaks to stand up, stretch, and walk around. Some people even find using a standing desk part-time can help.
Those are great practical tips. The article also highlights physical therapy. How can physical therapy help with piriformis syndrome?
Physical therapy is often the cornerstone of conservative treatment. A good physical therapist can teach you stretches and exercises to target the piriformis muscle and the surrounding muscles in your hip.
So we're talking about more than just basic stretching. You need a therapist who really understands this condition.
Absolutely. You want someone who's experienced in treating piriformis syndrome. They can assess your posture, how you walk, your movement patterns, and really personalize your treatment plan.
And they might even use more advanced techniques, right? I've heard things like active release technique or Graston technique, which target trigger points.
Yeah, those are techniques some therapists use to help release muscle tension and adhesions.
It seems like finding the right physical therapist is crucial. Now, the article also mentions medication, specifically anti-inflammatories. What role do those play?
Anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or naproxen can help with the pain and inflammation in the short term.
Okay.
But they don't actually address the root cause of the problem.
So more of a band-aid solution.
Okay.
Masking the symptoms, but not fixing the underlying issue.
Exactly. That's why the physical therapy and lifestyle changes are so important. They target the actual mechanical issue of the piriformis muscle compressing the nerve.
It's like taking painkillers for a broken leg. It might make you feel better temporarily, but you still need to set the bone.
Perfect analogy. It's about addressing the root cause.
Makes sense. So we've talked about lifestyle changes, physical therapy, and meds. But what if those don't work? That's when surgery enters the picture.
Right. Surgery is typically the last resort for cases that haven't responded to those other treatments.
So definitely not the first line of defense. Can you paint a picture of what surgery for piriformis syndrome entails? Like what actually happens during the procedure?
Well, the most common approach involves making an incision in the buttock area and then carefully dissecting down to the piriformis muscle. The surgeon will identify the sciatic nerve and then release the piriformis muscle wherever it's compressing the nerve.
So they're basically freeing up that nerve, giving it more space to, you know, breathe.
Exactly.
The article mentions that success rates are pretty good, but careful patient selection is key. Why is that? What kind of things make someone a good candidate for surgery, or maybe not such a good candidate?
Yeah, surgery isn't a guaranteed fix for everyone. The best candidates are those who've really tried all the conservative treatments that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And they have a clear diagnosis based on their symptoms, exam, and imaging. But someone might not be a good candidate if they have other things going on, like spinal stenosis or arthritis in the hip joint.
So it's not a decision to make lightly.
Yeah.
A thorough evaluation and realistic expectations are important.
Definitely. It's important to have a good conversation with your doctor about the potential risks and benefits, you know, make sure surgery is the right choice for you.
It's a good reminder that everyone's body is different, and what works for one person might not work for another.
Absolutely. There's no one-size-fits-all approach with piriformis syndrome.
This deep dive has been so eye-opening. I used to think piriformis syndrome was just a runner's thing, but it's so much more complex than that.
It really is, and there's still a lot of misunderstanding about it out there.
Which is exactly why it's important to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Shedding light on these health issues that are often overlooked. The more we understand, the better we can advocate for ourselves and make good decisions about our health.
I totally agree.
I'm definitely feeling a lot more informed about piriformis syndrome now. Dr. Bird's article was fantastic. It really brought all the pieces together.
He's a great resource, that's for sure.
Speaking of bringing pieces together, the article mentioned something I think is worth highlighting. The fact that piriformis syndrome can often coexist with other conditions. Like, imagine you're on a long drive and suddenly you feel that shooting pain down your leg. Could be piriformis syndrome acting up, right?
Right.
But what if you also have a herniated disc in your lower back? How do you know what's causing what?
That's a great point. Other conditions can definitely muddy the waters, making it even harder to figure out what role the piriformis is playing.
It's like trying to untangle a knot, but the threads are all different colors and textures. You have to carefully separate each one to see where it starts and ends. And then how would that affect treatment?
It would definitely impact the treatment plan. You wouldn't want to just focus on the piriformis muscle, you know, in isolation. You'd need to address everything that's contributing to the problem.
So it's not enough to just treat the symptoms. You have to understand the whole person and all the different factors at play.
Exactly. The body's a complex system. These conditions often don't exist in a vacuum.
It makes you realize how important it is to talk openly with your doctor or healthcare provider. The more information you share, the better they can diagnose and treat you.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to ask questions, share your concerns, and be your own advocate.
So we've learned today that piriformis syndrome is more than just a tight muscle. It can be complex, and it's often misunderstood. It needs to be assessed carefully, and treatment should be tailored to the individual.
Exactly. It needs a holistic approach, thinking about the person's anatomy, lifestyle, and overall health.
Well, we've reached the bottom of this deep dive.
Yeah.
What a fascinating and at times perplexing journey into the world of piriformis syndrome.
I enjoyed it.
Before we go, let's recap some of the key points for our listeners. First, remember, piriformis syndrome is all about that piriformis muscle pressing on the sciatic nerve, leading to buttock pain and often sciatica.
And that sciatica can be really tricky, affecting different parts of the leg, even mimicking other conditions.
Right. So if you're having these symptoms, see a doctor or healthcare professional for a proper diagnosis. Don't try to figure it out yourself or treat it based on what you find online.
Right. They can figure out what's really going on and help you get the right treatment.
And remember, there are effective treatments out there, from lifestyle changes and physical therapy to surgery in more severe cases.
The key is to find a provider who really listens to you and understands your condition, and works with you to come up with a personalized treatment plan.
And finally, knowledge is power. The more you know about your body and what might be causing you pain, the better you can advocate for yourself.
I couldn't agree more.
This has been a great deep dive. It's amazing how much we can learn when we really take the time to explore something.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep those brains engaged and those bodies moving. Until next time, happy exploring. And that brings us to our final thought-provoking question. The article mentions that piriformis syndrome can often hang out with other conditions. How does that complicate things? Diagnosis, treatment, the whole shebang.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. When you have other things going on, like back problems or hip issues, it creates a real puzzle.
Right.
It's like a mystery with multiple suspects. You have to really consider all the angles.
It really makes you realize how interconnected everything is in the body.
Absolutely. One problem can easily trigger another, or even mask it.
So, a thorough evaluation is super important.
Oh, for sure.
It's not enough to just treat the most obvious symptom. You have to dig deeper.
You got it. You got to figure out the root cause and how those different conditions might be interacting.
So, diagnosing piriformis syndrome when other issues are involved, it's like detective work.
It absolutely is. You have to use all the clues you can get. The patient's history, what you find during the exam, imaging studies, everything. It's all about putting the pieces together.
And I bet the treatment would need to be just as, you know, carefully considered.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If someone has piriformis syndrome and then, say, arthritis in their hip, you'd need to address both. You can't just ignore one.
It really highlights that whole person approach to healthcare, doesn't it?
It does. It's about seeing the bigger picture.
This deep dive has definitely given us a lot to think about.
It has.
Piriformis syndrome is clearly more than just a tight muscle.
Right.
It's something that can really affect people's lives. And it's often more complex than it seems at first glance.
I think that's a great takeaway. I hope people come away from this feeling more informed and empowered to take care of their health.
If you think you might be dealing with piriformis syndrome, remember, early diagnosis and treatment are key.
Definitely.
So don't wait. Go see a professional, ask questions, and be your own advocate.
And never underestimate the power of knowledge. You know, the more you understand about your body and these potential health challenges, the better decisions you can make.
Well said. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. But the learning doesn't stop here. Keep exploring and stay curious about your health.
It's been great being here. Thanks for having me.
And to all our listeners out there, keep those brains engaged and those bodies moving. We'll catch you on our next deep dive adventure.